Good morning or afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to emforum.org. I'm Amy Sebring and will serve as your moderator today, and we are very glad you could join us. Now, for our newcomers, we will be providing some instructions as we go along so you can relax and participate with us. Looks like we have a very good group here today, and we do rely on you to help fill out the program. As we approach National Preparedness Month, there are currently three preparedness-related documents out for review, and they're all linked from today's background page. The one we are focusing on today is the International Association of Emergency Managers, that's IAM, draft document titled Preparedness, A Principled Approach to Return on Investment, and IAM requests your feedback by September 2nd. IAM, NEMA, and others are also conducting a survey to measure attitudes towards preparedness. And again, there is a link to a version of the poll for emergency management and public health professionals, and responses to that are requested by tomorrow. And then last but not least, DHS FEMA has issued a new draft of the National Preparedness Goal, and comments on that document are also requested by September 2nd. Now, inspired by all this, we are going to conduct our own mini-poll in just a moment, but first, for the benefit of our newcomers, once we have looked at our poll, we will proceed with an overview presentation and then your questions and comments. Now, let me point out that if you would like to capture a PDF of the slides that our guests will be using, you can click on the printer icon down at the bottom right once we've put up that deck. And we will also have them posted later on today to our site. Now, if you have any difficulty with live meeting, you may use the feedback drop-down menu at the top right. And then my associates, Ava G. Moore and Lori Weaver, will monitor that and try to assist you. We will provide further instructions just before we begin the Q&A, but we ask you not to submit your question or comment until we do get to that part of the program. And we also ask you not to send any private messages to the speaker or myself, as we will have our hands full. We are making a live meeting recording, which should be available later this afternoon. And then we are also making an audio-only MP3 version of our program for your convenience. The text transcript will be posted early next week, and if you're not on our mailing list, you can subscribe from our homepage, and then you will get a notice when and links to the materials when they're ready. Now, before we move to our poll, it is my pleasure to introduce today's guest. Randy Duncan is a past president of IAM and currently serves as chair of IAM's Government Affairs Committee. He is director for Sedgwick County, which is Wichita, Kansas, Department of Emergency Management, and is in his second term as a member of the Governor's Commission on Emergency Planning and Response. And he has participated in numerous professional activities, and I do refer you to today's background page for further biographical detail. He also wrote the executive summary for the document that we are discussing today. Welcome back, Randy. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Well, Amy, thank you for the invitation, and I look forward to doing the program, hearing the questions and the comments.
Great. Now, we are going to move to our mini-poll, and we encourage all of you to participate, whether you are an emergency manager or not. Just click, you'll see a list of options, and you just click on the button for the answer that most closely reflects your opinion. And I will be reading those options aloud for the benefit of those, even though you can see them. This will be for the benefit of those that listen to the audio-only recording later, and also will read out the results of the poll. All right, but first we would like to characterize the overall composition of today's audience. So we ask, to which sector do you belong? And this is our usual sectors, academic, business or private sector, government, volunteer, NGOs, or none of the above, other. So we'll give that a moment. And we'll go ahead and display the results of that. And you can see 50% today are government. We have two from academia. Glad to have you with us. 5 from the private sector, 13 from government, 3 volunteer NGO, and 4 in the other category. Now, as you are all well aware, this September marks the 10th anniversary of 9/11. So our next two questions ask you about progress in national preparedness since that time. So our next question is, over the last 10 years, what kind of progress have we made in institutional preparedness? And then by institutional, we mean government, businesses, schools, et cetera. And we'll give a moment for those results. All right, and displaying our results, overwhelmingly, folks have indicated significant progress by 60%. It's fluctuating a little. We have 0 for the first two options, of negative or none. We have 11 who indicate slight progress, 17 for significant progress, and 1 for major progress. Excuse me. So a related question next is, over the past 10 years, what kind of progress have we made in individual and family preparedness? Again, the options are negative progress, no progress, slight progress, significant progress, or major progress. And displaying the results, overwhelmingly, folks feel that we have made slight progress, 85%. 1 says no progress, and 3 have said significant progress, 0 for major progress. Now, it's apparent that there is an economic and political climate in which government services at all levels are being trimmed back. There has been generous grant funding for preparedness for the past several years, but will that continue? We're already seeing certain programs being cut. But the next question just asks you to estimate this. In the future, to what degree do you expect public funding for preparedness efforts to be reduced at all levels of government, meaning local, state, federal, and so forth? The options are no reduction, slight reduction, significant reduction, major reduction, and or if you're dreaming, increased funding. So we'll give folks a moment. And we'll display these results. And these are a little more mixed. 0 say no reduction. 7 say slight reduction, 10 say significant reduction, 9 say major reduction, and 1 says increased funding. All right, so our final question asks about the impact. If public funding were reduced in a significant or major way, what impact would you anticipate on preparedness efforts and outcomes? The options are no impact, minor impact, significant impact, and major impact. And this really refers to both institutional and family preparedness. And we'll give that one a moment. And now looking at the results, basically we're pretty evenly split between significant impact and major impact. 0 said no impact, 2 said minor impact, 16 said significant impact, and 12 said major impact. Well, thank you very much, everyone. That's very helpful. Now, we are going to turn the floor over to Randy Duncan. Randy, if you're with us, would you please take it away?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that introduction, Amy. And for those of you who are participating and listening, thank you all for the input through the poll questions this morning. I found that very interesting. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about a new document that's been released by the International Association of Emergency Managers. It is called Preparedness, a Principled Approach to Return on Investment, as you see on the title slide displayed on the screen in front of you. One thing I do want to make clear up front, some of you know that I am the chair of the U.S. Government Affairs Committee for the International Association of Emergency Managers. This particular document does not reflect the Government Affairs Committee. It is a work of the entire association, so it did not originate in Government Affairs. Certainly we've had close interaction with it, but we do want to make it clear that it originates from the entire organization. Okay, I'm moving on to the next slide here. Amy, I may be in need of some assistance. I'm not sure if I came in and presented. Thank you. What you see on this particular slide is a photograph or a capture of the front cover of the document. And in particular, what I want to point out to you about this particular slide is you'll notice the document is labeled version 1.0. There's a very specific reason for that. We understand that there will be a dialogue. As a matter of fact, it is our hope that a dialogue will be engaged in on this topic as the result of our introduction of this document, and we understand that the document itself may change. And so that's why we're specifically referring to this as version 1.0, understanding that there will be a process of iteration and so forth. But I thought one of the best ways we might be able to give you a flavor for this is to look at some of the elements of the document, and then, of course, as we get into the latter part of the presentation, we'll open it up for questions and comments. Can we advance to the next slide, please? What you see displayed before you on the screen now is a list of the folks who were involved with the development, and I do want to make it perfectly clear at the beginning that the basic breakthrough in this idea and its novel application to measurement of return on investment came from Dr. Jessica Jensen at North Dakota State University, who heads up their Center for Disaster Studies and Emergency Management. And we offer and have a great debt of gratitude to her for the intellectual gut work, if you'll allow me, that went into all this. And then the rest of us kind of had an opportunity to review it, see if it makes sense with regard to our local programs, and just sort of put it through the peer review process, if you will, but based on practitioners as opposed to academics, for those of you who are familiar with the academic peer review process. And so this gives you an idea of the folks who were involved in that, and you can see there are local emergency managers, there's a tribal emergency manager, and it's been through a number of different folks. But we know it's not done yet. Even though it's been through those folks, it hasn't been through you all yet. And as we'll talk later in the presentation, there's an opportunity for you to provide feedback and input on this document as well. Can we advance to the next slide, please? The genesis of this project essentially comes from the comments and the desire on the part of the American taxpayer, the United States Congress, both the House and the Senate, and the folks in headquarters at DHS FEMA, essentially the policymakers, if you will. They want to know what is it they're getting for their money. And one of the basic places we started was with Management Philosophy 101 and management guru Peter Drucker, who said, what gets measured gets managed. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that. It is one of the foundational concepts upon which modern management principles are built. And I took the opportunity to extend that statement with regard to emergency management and say, you know, that's okay as long as what you're measuring is relevant. So I guess that's kind of the emergency management twist on Peter Drucker's original idea with regard to management. Can we advance to the next page, please? By way of background, the framework or the foundational stones for this document came out of another document which was created in September of 2007 called the Principles of Emergency Management. And you see a capture of the cover of that document on this particular slide. And can we advance to the next slide, please? Thank you. And here you see a copy of the foreword from the Principles of Emergency Management, and you'll get an idea of the folks who were involved in the development of that. That development effort was led by Dr. Wayne Blanchard, who's now retired from the Federal Emergency Management Agency's Higher Education Program at the Emergency Management Institute. There were representatives of the International Association of Emergency Managers. There were representatives of the National Emergency Managers Association, NEMA, representatives of EMAP, and others involved in the development of these Principles of Emergency Management, which is a seminal, foundational document with regard to what emergency management is and how we conduct the business of emergency management, the principles that are the basis for that. Can we advance to the next slide, please? And basically speaking, here you see a list of the eight principles. One of the exercises that this group went through was developing a definition, a vision, and a mission as it applies to the emergency management enterprise. The key work done by this group, and I think one of the members of the group may even be monitoring on the call today because I think I saw Luke Canton on there, and it involves these eight principles that you see here, that emergency management is comprehensive, progressive, risk-driven, integrated, collaborative, coordinated, flexible, and professional. And you'll notice after each of those descriptive words, there's a brief line that talks a little bit more about the characteristics of that word, that principle, as it applies to our business in emergency management. Can we advance to the next slide, please? Okay, here you see the essence of Jessica's intellectual breakthrough. We take the eight elements or eight principles of emergency management and we put them together as a hierarchy of outcomes. So if you'll look at the blue triangle on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll notice we start with the elements of the program, which are professional. Then we work in the others, collaborative, integrated, flexible, progressive, risk-driven, comprehensive, coordinated, which leads to preparedness, which then leads to the ultimate goal of effective and efficient mitigation, response, and recovery. And you notice the only reason we don't mention preparation or preparedness there is because we believe it is the next to the last or the penultimate outcome next to that effective and efficient. So what this does is, if you will, it provides a context within which to put the numbers that we have all been familiar with collecting in terms of measuring our return on investment for the Emergency Management Preparedness Grant. So we've now provided a picture, in other words, an overall context, so that those numbers now have a meaning in terms of leading toward that overall outcome of effective and efficient mitigation, response, and recovery. I want to leave that slide up there for just a moment longer because this is a very, very big idea to transform those eight principles that govern the way we conduct the business into a series of outcomes organized hierarchically. And that's what provides us the picture, if you will. The analogy or the example that I like to use is, so many times in the past, we've simply prepared inventories of things. We have X number of people that work on emergency management. We have Y number of people that prepare plans. We've made, Z number of plans and just continue onward. Now we have a hierarchy of outcomes that tells us the reason we have those people is because we need to look at the issues of professionalism, which leads to the subsequent issues of collaboration, integration, flexibility, which then transitions into coordination preparedness and leads to that effective and efficient mitigation, response, and recovery that we're all looking for as the ultimate outcome. So we have now a picture in which to plug those numbers. Can we go to the next slide, please? So we also thought it would be a good idea to take you through an example of how we deal with the way that these things could be measured and how these relate to this overall picture. So we're going to start out with a top-level outcome. And you see the outcome on this particular slide that they engage, the jurisdiction that is, engages in preparedness actions guided by professional staff, that is, emergency managers, and professional program. So there's our hierarchical outcome that relates to professionalism, which you see as the base of the outcome hierarchies, if you remember from the previous slide. Let's advance now to the next slide. And we see the objective related to that, which is local emergency managers are practicing professionals. So what we've done is we've taken one part of that outcome, and we've now turned it into an objective. So the next step is, and let's advance to the next slide, how do we measure the professionalism of local emergency managers? We've suggested some sample measures, and our guidelines on these sample measures were our preference for our approach, let's say, in terms of doing these sample measures, was to try to utilize things that we already measure on a day-to-day basis in our programs so that we're not creating new measurement mechanisms and we're taking the existing data and instead providing an overall context for it, which we think is a thing that has been missing from previous approaches to this topic. So here, for example, are the sample measures that we've suggested that would contribute to measuring the professionalism of the folks in an emergency management program. So one of the first ones we suggest is, okay, out of the emergency management program, how many of the people in that program are certified, whether it's an IAEM certified emergency manager credential, an associate emergency manager credential, a certified emergency manager credential from a state association, or graduation from FEMA's Emergency Management Foundational Academy. So you can see there are several different alternatives. Those are all things that we would normally track in our HR files or in our training files on an ongoing basis. We might then measure, do the jurisdiction's emergency managers hold an emergency management degree? An additional measure might be, do the jurisdiction's emergency managers belong to one or more emergency management professional associations, on the thought that belonging to those professional associations is an outward sign or symbol of that person seeking greater professionalism within the field. All right, let's go ahead and advance to the next slide, please. Some additional sample measures might include the number of general administration or management training courses completed each year by the jurisdiction's emergency manager. That keeps track of the training component. Essentially, our thought process here is that a trained emergency manager is an emergency manager traveling toward professionalism, and the number of emergency management-specific training courses completed each year, same thought process, because an emergency manager not only has to run the business of the program, which includes the general administration and management training, the emergency manager also has to run the emergency management program, hence the need for the emergency management-specific training. Let's advance on to the next slide, please. So now we take the other half of our outcome. Remember, in the first half, in the first objective, we talked about the first half of our outcome, which was a professional emergency management staff. The second half of our outcome was a professional emergency management program. And our objective is we take a look at the jurisdiction's emergency management program to see if it's administered in keeping with standards of the profession. Let's advance to the next slide and see what our sample measures for this might include. And you can see the first one is the jurisdiction's emergency management program and financial audits are satisfactory based on the jurisdiction's audit standards. This is an issue that occurs every year. Typically, a programmatic audit at the local level is done by the state. At the state level is done by the feds, and so on. The second measurement point, the jurisdiction program has received accreditation through the Emergency Management Accreditation Program, or the jurisdiction is progressing toward achievement of the EMAP standard as measured through the self-assessment tool. And then the third bullet point on this page is essentially the same point with reference to NFPA 1600. And at this point in time, we understand that there's not a self-assessment tool that's been developed with regard to that, but we think this would encourage the development of such a self-assessment tool. Next slide, please. To find out more about all of this, here's a URL on the slide, and I think Amy said that the slide deck will be available to look at on the EM Forum site. Plus, I understand the background slides had various web addresses available. If you go to this particular address here that's highlighted in blue on your screen, you'll find a copy of the press release from IAEM regarding the release of the document. You'll also find a link directly to the document itself, and you'll also find a secondary link to a SurveyMonkey tool, which is your opportunity to provide comments and inputs on the continuing development and evolution of this particular document. I would remind you that the deadline for submission of comments on this particular document is the second day of September of this year, so the deadline is looming closer, but we do encourage you to download that document, read it, and let us know what you think about it, bearing in mind that it was developed originally by an academic but vetted through a pool of local practicing emergency managers in various sized programs in various geographical areas throughout the United States. And overall, we're very anxious to hear what you think about this. Where we want to go once we get the input and once we continue this vetting process, it's our hope that this document will contribute to this overall dialogue about the measurement of return on investment for the Emergency Management Performance Grant and make a contribution. Ultimately, we would love to see the measurement system used by FEMA to report progress on EMPG back to Congress take the shape of this particular tool, however that finally ends up. Our examination of other efforts that are attempting to do this, they are worthy efforts and they are making a contribution. We think the basic difference between this effort and all of those other efforts is that we have provided an overall context, a hierarchy of outcomes within which to array the numbers that we're essentially already collecting. And hopefully we've provided to you a sample of one particular element of the eight principles of emergency management and a way that it could be incorporated into this measurement system. And you notice we refer to those as sample measurements. We don't refer to them as final measurements because we don't view the process as completely finished at this point in time. Amy, at this point, I have gone through the presentation that I intended to share with members of the EM Forum today, and I think it would be appropriate to go ahead and open us up for comments and questions. I'm very anxious and eagerly awaiting comments and questions from our participants today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just to clarify, in the comments, you are encouraging people to comment on those sample measures, even though they're, you know, identified as samples, right?
Exactly. Again, think of them as a place to start the dialogue. Look at them, and if you see a sample measure that you see is particularly relevant and captures that idea well, please tell us. Similarly, if you look at them and find a measurement that you think doesn't get at what the outcome or objective is, let us know and go further, suggest an alternative way to get to it.
I've got one for you on the professional, the question being, is the emergency manager full-time?
Is emergency management full-time?
Emergency manager a full-time employee.
Oh. Well, I understand that there's a range of different ways that programs are handled throughout the United States. And I understand that some local jurisdictions have emergency managers that work at this job less than full time. In my own work and background experience, I originally came from a very small rural county in Kansas of 37,000 folks in the entire county, and I basically had a one- or two-person shop, and with me being full-time and most everybody else being part-time, and I'm now in a county of about 500,000 where I have the luxury of actually having some staff. So I know that there are folks who don't have full-time allocations. Unfortunately, the responsibilities that keep getting placed on the emergency management program in terms of public expectations and guidelines from our federal and state partners keep increasing. And at some point in time, I think local jurisdictions are really going to have to seriously examine the issue of whether they can get by without a full-time emergency manager in some aspect.
Right. I did want to mention that we did invite Dr. Jensen to join us today, but she had to send her regrets because she is currently down in Washington, D.C., meeting with, and Randy, perhaps you can fill us in on this outreach effort with the Congress.
Yes, Amy. As a matter of fact, we have a group of folks, including Dr. Jensen and our IAEM president, Eddie Hicks, and our incoming president, Wissam Walker, and Martha Braddock, our policy advisor, and they are conducting a series of meetings with FEMA officials and congressional committee staff talking about this and conducting outreach regarding the document to make the committee staff folks aware. I had the opportunity to visit with them last night. This is actually their second day of meetings. So I had the opportunity to visit with them last night to get kind of an initial feedback. And the comment is that we've been receiving favorable response from the congressional folks who have been taking a look at the document. But like all things that are new, it's not necessarily jumping up and down and saying we're ready to endorse it today, but I think we all have to think about, read, ponder, and let sink in the consequences of the idea, understanding that we're not really going to find a way to avoid measuring return on investment. The only question is, will we get to have input into the design of the system? Or will the system be created by somebody else and we have to react to it? This document is IAEM's effort to provide input to those out there who are looking at creating that system and to have that system vetted through actual practitioners in the field so that we have an active part in creating our own system of measurement rather than responding to a system of measurement in which we did not have an opportunity to participate in the creation.
Thanks, Randy. Okay, we will move to our Q&A now. And let me get that down. To submit your input or to ask a question, click on Q&A from the top menu and then type in the top half of the box that will open up, then click on Ask. Now, there is a hand-raising feature there, but we do not use that. When you click on Ask, your comment or question does not go directly to the screen. Instead, it goes to administration panel that I monitor. I will announce who the question is from and read the question aloud, and then our guest will respond via the conference bridge. I'll also type in a little OK, and that will release the text of the question to your Q&A panel. The way this works, you are only able to submit one question or comment at a time. Please do keep your question or comment related to today's topic and reasonably concise and, related to measuring preparedness. We are ready to begin now, so you may enter your question or comment at any time. And we have a question from Luke Canton. And he says, there are always concerns that measures become mandatory rather than being used as indicators. For example, ideally, the emergency manager should have an EM degree, but that is not the current reality. How does the document distinguish between the ideal and the acceptable?
Ah, first off, let me respond by saying that's one of typically the great questions that Lou always asks, and I appreciate that. One of the ways that we attempt to deal with this issue is by trying to offer a variety of different measures. The concept would be similar if those of you who can remember back in the days before September 11th of 2001, we used to have a document as locals and states that we dealt with the Federal Emergency Management Agency at that time. We used to call it a Comprehensive Cooperative Agreement. And essentially it was an agreement where we would negotiate work that would be done. I think there are some parallels with the target capabilities list and so on in terms of the fact that you can select particular capabilities to work on in any given year off the TCL, and similarly, that was the approach that was used in the Comprehensive Cooperation Agreement, or CCA. I think that's another view that we have of this document, is that there would be a negotiation between the local jurisdiction and the state jurisdiction about what areas would be concentrated on in what particular year, and similarly between the states and the federal government, and so on. And so from that perspective, you would have the opportunity not only to choose the outcomes that are particularly relevant to your local program, you'd also have a variety of different measurement mechanisms to try to achieve that. And that's also why the document is in a draft or discussion stage, because we do want to take those types of things into consideration. And if somebody has suggestions as to how we can do it better than what we already have, we are very much open to them.
Thank you, Randy. Don't have any questions on the queue. I encourage folks to go ahead and put their comments or questions in at this point. One of the things I was interested in was the what you had on the slide regarding the NFPA 1600 self-assessment tool possibility. Has there been any discussion with NFPA on that idea? Or
Amy, at this point in time, we have not done outreach to NFPA 1600 on that specific issue. We have members of the association that serve as liaisons to these various standard-setting bodies, Emergency Management Accreditation Program, National Fire Protection Association, and so on. And at this point, it's just kind of been within the document itself that discussion has occurred. It's possible that's an area that might change in terms of input. But we do like the idea of self-assessments, and there was a very specific reason why self-assessments were included. The specific reason for that is there are a number of smaller programs in lesser populated jurisdictions. And remember, I told you I came from one of those originally in the more rural area of Kansas, who don't have the financial wherewithal, especially in this current financial climate of austerity, to pay the fees associated with that process. Yet there's potentially still a way to get the benefit out of going through the accreditation process with a self-assessment guide. And that is, you as a program manager can run your own program through the self-assessment at essentially low cost or no cost. And even though you don't get the official accreditation document from the accrediting agency, you know that you've gone through that process, and you're able to demonstrate that through meeting the self-assessment. So that was the specific reason why we included that in there, and it just seemed logical that NFPA 1600 might have some interest in developing that, and we'll certainly be doing follow-on outreach and contact with them to see if that is the case.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and I believe there's, you know, some model for that in terms of the DHS's business preparedness program, if I'm not mistaken, where they can do some self-assessment. Okay, well, I'm still not seeing any additional questions. Oh, here comes one. All right, Ava Jean comes through on one. Ava Jean Moore asks, do you personally have a perspective on the intangible factors that make a good professional in the emergency management field that go beyond education, training, experience, or things we can measure? And she may be getting that, you know, ideas such as leadership, you know, those types of
Yeah, and once again, Ava Jean comes through with a particularly good question. And I think that's one that we have all struggled with at various times, because I think we have seen and probably have had experience with folks who have been involved in this field who have been particularly able to accomplish things, and they may not have had a degree or they may not have had particular training, but it's just something about the overall person and personality. And that is an extremely difficult thing to capture. It gets back to the issue that it's very difficult to capture subjective data. You know, like if it's our opinion that a certain type of personality seems to do well, sometimes that's a difficult thing to capture, unless you're willing to go out and do a Myers-Briggs analysis of everybody who's in the field and say, okay, if you're an ENFJ, okay, you qualify. I don't know. I'm just, of course, picking a Myers-Briggs type at random to talk about there. But, that is particularly difficult, and I'm not sure that I have a good handle on how to answer that. I think what we've done is, through the use of these principles of emergency management, however, we've tried to identify and make tangible some of those intangibles. For example, if you go back and look at the eight principles, they include things like integration and collaboration. And we have suggested some specific samples of ways that those might be measured. So from that perspective, what I would urge all the participants to do is get a hold of a copy of the document and read it, and then take the time to respond to the SurveyMonkey instrument and give us your feedback. Have we found a way to capture that? And if not, give us a suggestion on how we can do better at capturing that.
Randy, we mentioned the, that FEMA DHS has just come out again with the updated draft of the National Preparedness Goal under PPD-8. Have you had a chance to look at that yet?
Amy, I have that document in my inbox. And I have not yet had a chance to look at it directly. But
Well, you're familiar. I mean, the same principles there are there with the target capabilities that you mentioned, you know, in passing mm-hmm. during your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you had thought about kind of cross-referencing that to either this effort or to the principles of emergency management.
Well, I think it should certainly be possible to do. Because I think one of the benefits of this framework, and when I speak that specifically, I'm referring not only to the return on investment document, but I'm also making reference to the principles of emergency management document. Like our field of emergency management, those concepts are broad, and they're purposefully broad because that is the approach that emergency management takes. It is a broad professional approach. It is broad integration, both horizontally within the jurisdiction and vertically with different levels of government. And so toward that end, I think that that there is a great affinity between the two, and I'm still kind of thinking about the concept of cross-matching it with the target capabilities, but it seems like it would be a possible thing to do. As a matter of fact, I'm finding a piece of paper and writing a note down on that. I intend to have a discussion with our group on that topic after we finish here, and perhaps someone would be kind enough to mention that in the SurveyMonkey instrument to help support me bringing that discussion point up in our groups.
Great. And we have a related comment question from Steve, and we may have already answered it. He asks, have you thought about building on the previous pilot capability assessments of FEMIS? It seemed to be an effective way to measure capabilities, TCL, and year-to-year use would measure improvements and enhancements made to these TCs.
Well, that, again, that's certainly another possibility, and those are exactly the kind of suggestions and inputs that we are looking for, and I hope Steve will take the time and effort to go to SurveyMonkey and make sure that that input is in there for the discussion points. We understand this is a living document. At some point, we have a vision that a version 2.0 is going to come out. And the way that version 2.0 is going to happen is with the dialogue and input and suggestions that we hope are generated as a result of our outreach on Capitol Hill, our program with EM Forum today, and generally speaking, the thoughtful approach of thoughtful people in the emergency management field toward this whole thing.
Evangeline's got another question, and she asks, since we are in the people business, which is more important in a local or state program, people skills and capabilities or the equipment, systems, et cetera, that bean counters look at when accounting for grant funds?
Ah, another typically excellent Evangeline question. And I do very much have a bias on this particular question, and I want to make it very clear up front. I have a simple thought experiment that I would ask you to participate with me in. All right, let's picture a typical workstation, a desk and a chair. And now let's put a computer on that workstation. And now let's put an interoperable radio on that workstation. And now picture whatever else your favorite toy is. Perhaps it's the keys to a emergency management vehicle, or perhaps it's the disk that operates a computer program that allows a sophisticated CBRNE network sensor to operate. And now look back at that chair. And if the chair is empty, what's the outcome of all that information coming into that workstation? So that should be the clue to my bias. I think people are very important, and the people skills have to come first, and then we have to develop the equipment and the capability for the people.
Great. Question from Isabel McCurdy, and she asks, is the intent of this document to be the inclusion of lives, property, environment, education as the measurement of investment in dollars and cents? I think she's asking about your outcomes. Maybe you can explain that a little bit more, Randy.
Okay. Well, yes, the outcome is that blue pyramid that we talked about on a previous slide. And the ultimate outcome is effective and efficient mitigation, response, recovery to any disaster, regardless of the cause. And to that extent, we kind of take a look at the process in terms of what are the inputs that go into that. So how do you achieve professionalism? Well, obviously, you have to make an investment in the operation of the program so that it can be professionally operated and meet the standards, et cetera. you also have to make an investment in the people so that they are professional in the way that they conduct the program and have good relations and such. So, yes, to that extent, the inputs are important to that process, and the inputs include not only the grant funds, whether they're emergency management performance grant or whatever, they also include the local general fund tax revenue that goes into the operation of that local program, or the state general fund tax revenue that goes into the operation of that state program. And I think the issue is, if you get that efficient and effective mitigation, response, and recovery, along with the preparedness that's the next to the last step before all those things, you're going to have a positive impact on saving lives. You're going to have a positive impact on preventing damage and securing the environment and stabilizing the situation and all of those other concerns that we have with emergency responses and disasters. So I hope that answers your question, Isabel.
Thanks, Randy. Don't have any further questions or comments, but I did want to wrap up on one notion. I feel would be a little remiss if I didn't get your opinions and thoughts on it. When we did the poll question, you know, we kind of separated it out into institutional preparedness, which this seems to go directly to. But where does, you know, the family preparedness play in all this and fit in all this? And you know, are they 50-50, 75-25 in terms of outcomes? What are your thoughts?
Well, Amy, another interesting and thought-provoking question. I'm not sure that I could give you an exact percentage breakdown, but as an example, if we go back and look at this through the lens of our hierarchical outcome, for a program to be flexible, which is one of our principles of emergency management, it has to incorporate the ability of organizations at the private enterprise level, the non-governmental organization level, the governmental organization level, the individual level, it has to accommodate all those things. Similarly, a progressive program takes into account all of those issues. And a comprehensive program makes sure. So I think there's an element of that that runs through many of the principles. And if you get the opportunity to download the document and read it carefully, I think you will see that there are sample measures that relate to outreach to the public, outreach to other NGOs, outreach to private enterprise, et cetera, recognizing that all of those have an extremely important overall role to play in that ultimate hierarchical outcome of effective and efficient response, mitigation, recovery, and the preparedness that precedes it.
Thanks. And one final comment from Tom Fady, and he says, Randy, your comments are focused on the return on investment for human resources, training, and development of emergency managers. This is an excellent goal.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that comment. I hope that you find the other principles are equally as well fleshed out in the document and realize I just went through the one as a sample. So, again, I highly encourage everybody to get the document, read it, and then not only that, share your comments and input with us at the SurveyMonkey instrument.
Absolutely. And I would encourage folks to also, if you want to dive right into it, once you get into the sample, samples that are an appendix, that really does help clarify, at least it did for me, just exactly what this is all about.
Amy, that's a good point. And if you don't mind, let me make a quick comment about how the document itself is organized. It's organized in two parts. Essentially, the intellectual underpinnings of the concept are outlined in the first part of the document. What you may want to do is you may want to go to the appendix, which is where the outcomes, objectives, and sample measures are outlined for each of the principles. And as Amy has said, that hopefully will give you a very concrete idea of what we want the dialogue to center on with respect to this measurement of return on investment.
Very good. Well, I guess we'll go ahead. Oh, wait, I got one more. Let's see. Oh, Russ Strickland says, ditto, Tom. Okay. So I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up for today. And thank you very much, Randy. And when you're talking with Jessica, please convey to her that we appreciate her valuable contribution here.
Absolutely, and even though I'm not trying to put words in Jessica's mouth, I'm sure that she, and I know definitely that I, would say thank you, to Ava Jean, and to each one of the participants out there for taking time out of your busy day to allow us to brief you about what we hope will be an important document and a game changer with respect to the issue of measuring return on investment.
Well, we certainly appreciate your taking the time to be with us today and to share this information. And we wish you success with this effort. Good luck.
Thank you, Amy.
Okay. Again, the video and audio recording should be available later this afternoon. And if you're not on our mailing list and would like to get direct notices of future sessions and availability of the related materials, you can just go to our homepage to subscribe. Now, before you go, please do take a moment to fill out the rating review form, and the rating is just based on relevance, and plus any additional comments you may have on this. And again, we do encourage you to provide your feedback to IAM. Our next program will take place Wednesday, September 14th. Please watch our announcement and plan to be with us then when we'll be deep in National Preparedness Month. So until next time, thanks to everyone for participating today, and have a great afternoon. We are adjourned.